Ronald Reagan once told a joke about a golfer who had trouble hitting the ball consistently. On his tee off, his ball landed on an anthill. Rather than move the ball, he decided to hit it where it lay. He gave it a mighty swing, and clouds of dirt and sand and ants went flying everywhere. Everything but the golf ball. It never even wiggled. So he lined up and tried another shot, with the same results. He missed the ball and hit the anthill. As he wound up for a third try, one ant said to another, "If we're going to survive, we'd better get on the ball." That Ronald Reagan was a pretty funny guy. Maybe as we enter a new year, we're saying the same thing. I need to get on the ball. I need to change my priorities. I need to begin spending more time with God, spending my time more effectively. I need to make my life count for something. A new year is a chance to make up some decisions and some plans and goals. Today I'm going to challenge you in one goal only, to get more involved in the ministry of your local church. Your local church. To become more active in advancing God's kingdom here in this community through your local church. I've titled my message, Spectator or Participator? Well, that's convicting, isn't it? Am I a spectator or a participator? Christianity is not meant to be a spectator sport. God wants us all to be participants, all to be involved. Within the church, there's two circles. Now, this is a very simple diagram. There's much more complicated ones, but this is my simple one. There's an outer circle and an inner circle. The outer circle is spectators. The inner circle is participators. Christ's earthly ministry involved the same two circles. There were masses who were drawn to Jesus, to whom he ministered. Sometimes he fed thousands of them with bread, did miracles among them. That was the spectators. They all came to see Jesus do a miracle, to hear him talk, see him heal people. And then there was an inner circle of disciples, those who were closest to him, who ministered with him. They weren't there to watch, they were there to be involved. The majority were like spectators. The minority were the participators. Now, the same pattern can be seen in the church today. If you are very active and involved in ministry, while most, in most churches, are less active, less involved, especially the bigger church you get to. In a small church, there's some accountability to become involved. In a large church, you can just kind of blend in year after year and not really get involved, to be a spectator. I'm no way using this message to condemn you. As a matter of fact, I'm saying this message to congratulate you. This church is very active. Lots of involved people. I appreciate the maturity level of Twin Peaks Community Church. I love this church. It's a great church. And if you come, you won't be a spectator too long. You'll be tapped to serve. But a growing church needs to be see both circles expanding. In other words, the outer circle needs to be expanding as we reach out to the unsaved, as we're drawing the lost to the Lord, as we minister to new believers. Most of them enter the church as spectators, just checking things out, not really involved. We need to encourage them, if they're going to stay, to make progress and become part of the inner circle where ministry really happens. As people mature, they should get more involved, more active. Rather than being spectators, they need to become participators. Rather than just being receivers, they need to become givers. This is the circle of commitment. And they're growing in a healthy church. Let's do a little self-examination for a moment. Which circle do you see yourself in right now? Don't answer out loud. Just think in your own heart. Am I involved as I want to be? Or should I become more involved? What will you do about it? This might be a good time to make a commitment to go deeper, to go further, to go higher. A good New Year's goal to become more active in your church. Become less a spectator and more a participant. James 1:22 says, be doers of the word and not hearers only. Hearers are spectators. They're just there listening and observing. Doers are active and involved. In our brief time together, I want us to consider two sides of this point. You have an outline, it's yellow, it's in your bulletin, and you can fill in the blanks if you wish. I'm going to talk about the reasons to become a participator and the excuses for not becoming a participator. Are you ready? This is going to be a very short message because I'm going to spend some time acknowledging some of you who have been very actively involved in our church. That's going to be our share time today. But right now, let's talk about some reasons to become a participator. I'm going to suggest three reasons. Probably there's 100 reasons, but I'm going to give you three of why you should become more active in Twin Peaks Community Church or your local church where you attend regularly. Number one, because the world needs you. The world is lost without Jesus. Do you really believe that? Do you really believe that? The world is lost without Jesus. The people of the world need to hear about Christ. The church needs to be functioning in our community. How will they be reached? How will they hear the gospel? Remember Romans 10 says, how will they hear unless someone preach? How are they going to hear? Is it going to be by angels? Are angels going to appear to people and tell them the gospel? Answer that question. No, let's do that better. Are angels coming to tell people about Jesus?
No.
Are supernatural dreams the way people are going to find Jesus?
No.
But is God going to write the gospel in the sky so that the world sees it?
No.
How? How is God going to reach people? God has one plan to reach the people of the world, and that's other people. It's like I talked about with the kids. One person teaching the next person, teaching the next person. We need to be sharing our faith. Mark 16, 15 says, go into all the world and what? Preach the gospel to all creation. That's God's message to his followers. We're to go and preach. We're to be his representatives. God intends his followers. Are you a follower of Christ? God intends his followers to share their faith. This has been the plan from the beginning. So why should I become a participator in my local church? Because the world around me needs me. We need you. Second reason to become a participator is because the church needs you. The church needs you. Did you know that? Did you know you're important to the church? Our church, not just the church in general, not the universal church. You're important to this church. God has gifted every believer for ministry. There's a slogan that says, every member is a minister. Every member of the body of Christ, every member of a church is a minister. Sure, we have certain people assigned the title pastor or minister. We're all to be ministering to our community. 1 Corinthians 12, that was our scripture reading. We see the church compared to a human body. It has many separate parts, eyes and ears and mouth. Yet they're all important. They're all interdependent. That's what we read in that scripture. There's another passage just like it in Romans 12. So you have 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12, both with the same illustration. Paul uses this. This is what he says in verse 4. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us, some of us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. Just as the human body needs all the body parts to function properly together, so also the body of Christ needs all its members to function properly. We are interdependent. We are all necessary. We are all needed. Which is better, an orchestra or a one-man band? When I attended Prairie Bible College in Canada, we had an orchestra. It was a large church. They called it the Tabernacle. And up front was this huge orchestra. So I would go in quite often during the week and listen to them practice, to sit and listen to them rehearse. It's fantastic, especially the strings. Oh, those strings just move your heart, don't they? The violins and cellos. Then there's the wind instruments. Then there's percussion. All working together in harmony under the direction of a conductor. One person leading that whole orchestra. Orchestra is probably the size of this group here. It was so inspirational. Compare that to a one-man band. You see them on street corners, one person playing several instruments, maybe strumming a guitar and using his foot on a drum, shaking his head for the tambourine or something, I don't know. Playing lots of instruments, but not playing any of them very well. Now, most of us would agree that although it might be entertaining to watch a one-man band, it's more pleasing to see an orchestra all working together under the direction of a conductor. And that's the way it is with the church. When everyone does his part or her part, it's a beautiful, harmonious thing under the conductor of Jesus Christ. He's the Lord of the church. But when one does everything, like a one-man band, or one or two or three, it isn't done very well. So the church needs everyone to be involved. So let me ask you, what gifts do you have? What skills? What talents do you have that should be used in the body of Christ? Are you using your gifts and talents for the kingdom of God, not just your own glory, but for your local church, for his kingdom? I hope you say, yes, you are. I hope you will. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? For good works. We have been created in Christ Jesus. We've been saved to serve for good works. God designed you for a purpose. You are created for good works. Are you fulfilling your God-given calling? So far, I've shared two reasons to become more involved. The world needs you and the church needs you. The third reason might surprise you. Are you ready for this? Because God needs you. Some of you may be thinking, well, God doesn't need me. He doesn't need anyone or anything. He's self-sufficient. He's all-powerful. He doesn't need me. Yet, he has chosen to accomplish his work through his followers. That's the avenue through which he works to reach the world. He calls us ambassadors for Christ. An ambassador represents this country in a foreign land. We're representing Christ in this land. We are his ambassadors. Let me give a couple examples. In Acts chapter 8, when God wanted to reach the Ethiopian eunuch, who was out on a desert road reading a scroll that somehow he got a hands on, a rare scroll of Isaiah 50. He's reading, trying to figure it out, trying to understand it. Who did God send to the Ethiopian eunuch? Did he send an angel? No. He sent Philip on this obscure journey. Why am I out in the middle of nowhere in this deserted place? Because God had an assignment for him to share with the Ethiopian eunuch. And that Ethiopian eunuch became a believer and was baptized and took the gospel to Ethiopia. But he did it through a man. In Acts chapter 9, when God wanted to reach Saul of Tarsus, whom he had blinded on the road to Damascus, if you recall. And now he's in a room and he's praying and he's seeking God. Who did God send to Saul of Tarsus? Did he send an angel? No. He sent a believer named Ananias. Ananias was really cautious about going to see Saul of Tarsus, the attacker of the church, the persecutor of the church. He said, are you sure you want me? God needs you to go and speak to this man. And Saul heard the gospel, was saved, and later became who? The Apostle Paul, who wrote most of our New Testament. God used one man to lead Saul to the Lord. Who knows who you might lead to the Lord as his ambassador? You may be obscure in the body of Christ, but you might reach a Saul or a Paul or an Ethiopian eunuch who could share his faith. In Acts chapter 9, when God wanted to reach Cornelius with the gospel, who did he send to Cornelius? An angel? No, God sent Peter. Peter was a Jew. Cornelius was a Gentile. And he says, I want you to go speak to this man. He goes, I don't think that's my job. He says, yes, it is your job. God sent Peter to witness to Cornelius and his family. And not only did Cornelius become a believer, but his whole family did, and they were all baptized. They were the first Gentile believers. Who did God accomplish that through? Through a willing person. That's the point. God has chosen to accomplish his work through his followers. Let me say it again. God has chosen to do his work, not through angels, not through dreams, not through visions, but through his people. We are his representatives on earth. He weeps through our eyes. He speaks through our mouth. He ministers through our hands. He loves through our hearts. We are his representatives. The story is told that during the bombing of a city during World War II, a large statue of Jesus was severely damaged. When the townspeople found the statue among the rubble, they mourned because it had been a beloved symbol of their faith and of God's presence in their lives and in their town. Experts were able to repair most of the statue and make it erect again, but its hands had been damaged so severely that they were not be able to be restored. Some suggested that they hire a sculptor to make new hands. Others wanted to leave it as it was, as a permanent reminder of the tragedy of war. Ultimately, the statue did remain without hands. However, the people of the city added to the base of the statue a sign with these words, "You are my hands." You are my hands. That's the message I'm trying to get out here, is you are God's chosen instruments to minister to the world. Why should you become more active and we're in ministry? Because the world needs you, because your church needs you, and because God needs you to do your part in passing the gospel on. Let's consider, secondly here, some reasons why some refused to get more involved, why many remain spectators, some excuses for not being a participator. I'm sure there are many more excuses, but I'll just share three. We'll keep it brief. Number one, it's not my personality. How many times have I heard that? It's not my personality. I'm naturally shy, quiet, reserved. I'm a better follower than a leader. I'm a better spectator than a participator. My answer to you is, can't God use each person with his unique personality? With her unique gifting? Can't God find a ministry suited for you the way he made you? You are created in Christ Jesus for good works. Remember the analogy of the body. Some body parts are more prominent than others. Maybe you're not gifted to get up and speak in front of a group. That scares you so much. But you're not. That's not the only function in the church. Some are eyes and hands and mouths, while others are feet and ears. Actually, think about it. Some body parts that are less visible are more vital. You ever thought of that? The heart is not very visible. The lungs aren't very visible. The vital organs aren't very visible. Yet they're vital. You can live without hands. You can't live without a heart. So the invisible things, the invisible giftings of the church are just as important for the whole function. Some are gifted to be visible, teaching, preaching. Some less visible, serving and giving. But everyone has a gifting to be used for God. Regardless of your personality, God has a job for you. My challenge to you today is ask God to show you where you're best suited to minister. And then step forward in faith and become more involved. Become part of the inner circle of involved participant people. Second excuse. Ready? I'm not qualified. I hear that a lot. I feel inadequate to have a ministry. My life has been a wreck. I haven't done well. I'm not a good example. I don't have any training, I don't have any experience, I don't have any qualifications. Now sure, there are some ministries in the church that need training, but most don't. How much training does it take to shovel snow? How much training does it take to pull some weeds, to mop a floor, do a little dusting, wash some windows? There's plenty of things to do in a church. It doesn't involve qualifications. We are all qualified to serve. And that's what the Bible talks about. The greatest shall be the servant. If you want to be great in God's kingdom, learn to be the servant of all. You can pray. You can encourage. You can help others. You can cook. By the way, God delights in using the underqualified. Did you know that? You've heard me read this verse so many times. Maybe it's my life verse. I don't know. 1 Corinthians 1:26 says, "For consider your calling, brethren, that there are not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong." God has chosen the weak and the foolish. Remember in Rudolph's movie, there's an island of misfit toys. All these toys that just don't fit in because they're all got a disability. You know, the church is an island of misfit people. None of us are perfect. We're all wired a little odd. But God has a place in this island of misfit people. God's got a job for each and every one of us. It doesn't matter how qualified you are. That's the good news for us who feel foolish and weak, is God has chosen to use us. That's a wonderful truth. Do you feel underqualified? Well, I'm glad, because if you felt overqualified, you'd have pride. Underqualified, you have humility. You say, I don't know what I can do, but I'll do what I can. Listen now, the greatest ability is availability. The greatest ability is availability. If you say, Lord, use me, he will use you. The final excuse is the saddest of all. I'm too busy. I can't get involved in my church. I'm too busy. Many are qualified, but too busy to get involved. They live overcrowded lives, over-obligated lives. They push themselves so hard that there's little time for God, little time for church. So when it comes to church, they say, well, I'll blend in, but don't ask me to do much because I've got so much going on. I'd rather be a spectator at church because I'm too much a participator in life. There's some priority changes that need to happen. Listen to Matthew 6:33. But seek first his kingdom, his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. What's first? God's kingdom, God's righteousness. We are to be advancing God's kingdom. We are to be involved in our local church. And God will take care of the rest. As we make time for God and his kingdom, our other priorities and obligations will fall into place. I love the words of the famous physician, William James. He says, "The great use of life is to spend it for something that will outlast it." The great use of life is to spend it for something that will outlast it. Are you doing that? Are you investing your life in that that would outlast you? Only three things are eternal. That's God, his word, and God's people. If you spend your effort and your energy with God, his word, and his people, then that's going to outlast you. You'll have a lasting legacy. So today we contrasted spectators and participants. Spectators watch things happen. Participators make things happen. Which are you? Are you actively involved in the ministry of this church, your church? Are you using your talents, your gifts, the way God has intended? If not, it's time to get on the ball, according to Ronald Reagan's joke. Time to reexamine your priorities. Time to recommit your life to serving God. Amen? Let's pray. Father, We've been convicted by this challenge that we sometimes are passive and we need to be active. Lord, help us become doers and not hearers only. Help us to become involved, to participate in our local church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.